I want to talk to you about prayer. We're going to talk, our theme is pray, give, go. And this year, we're going to spend some time on that. Pray, give, and go. It's interesting, this. If you want to turn in your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 9, verse 28 to 36. And we won't go through all of this because there's so much in here, but I wanted to bring your attention to prayer. Is prayer difficult for you? Nobody's going to admit to that because we're all hallelujah Christians and we don't want to ever tell anybody that we're struggling with prayer. Hey, I struggle with prayer. It seems to be the most difficult thing because I try to make it into a method instead of just talking with God. We don't need to have a method. You don't have to have somebody tell you, well, you gotta get down on your knees and raise this hand up and then put the other hand, the Bible, at a 30-degree angle behind you. And then you say, thus saith the Lord, hallelujah. That is bogus, okay? That has got nothing to do with who you are or how you talk to him. You talk to him the way you talk. If you stutter to God. If you talk with an accent, you talk with an accent to God. You just talk with him. And you just tell him, look, things are not good today. Things are tough. Or, thank you so much for blessing me in this area. So, Peter, John, and James hung around with Jesus quite a bit. And it says, on the 8 days after 8 days, Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him, and they went up on a mountain to pray. So where do you pray? Location. Real estate people know this. Location, 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 right? Richmond, Richmond, Richmond. That's that's the same thing. It's got to be the place. Now, it's not got to be the place that I tell you. It's not going to your closet. People literally go into a closet. Scripture says, go into your closet and pray. How many go into your closet? Don't put your hand up. How many go into your closet and hide out in your closet? You just need to get an environment that's separate from all this world that's pounding down on us, taking our cell phones and turning it off, taking our iPads and putting them away, taking our computers and turning the TV off and just maybe finding a place. One of my friends used to go out in his 56 Dodge DeSoto that was sitting out in his garage and he was going to repair it. And that's where he would spend his time in prayer every morning for an hour. Cold, old, and he just would go in and spend time. It's the location where you can connect with God. And so Jesus gave us this example in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. He got up early, went off to a solitary place. Mark 6, 46 says this, after leaving them, he went up on the mountainside to pray. Mark 14, 32 says, they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He went to these different places, and he actually separated himself from his disciples when he prayed. It's a presence. It's a presence that is so important. So here's a story in 1 Kings 19, 7 to 13. And it's about Elijah who had just been on the mountaintop, Mount Carmel, and had defeated all the priests of Baal. I mean, not only did he defeat them in the supernatural, but he actually took each one of them and killed them, 450 of them, killed them on the mountain. And I mean, that was a pretty high thing to have happen in his ministry career. God intervened in a powerful way. There was a miracle that happened. And all of darkness was rolled back and the light came in, and Elijah knew that God was all-powerful. And then a lady named Jezebel sent him a note saying, you know what? If the sun goes down before I've actually done the same thing to you, he says, I'll be cursed because I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. You ever been threatened? Somebody's going to get you? And you don't think there's any way out. And Elijah, this powerful man of God who just saw the heavens open and the fire come down and not only lick up the sacrifice, but burn the rocks and the water, and everything was totally gone. He runs. And he runs until he falls down by a broom bush. And he just lays there and he says, why don't you just kill me off? Like, why was he even born? Ever been there? Ever been depressed? We can't confess that, can we? Because if we confess it, then it'll be real. And then, so we would never go and talk to somebody about being depressed. Because, wow, like, you have the Spirit of God inside you. How could you be depressed? Here's the guy that had the Spirit of God in him, just saw the highest and mightiest thing happen in the spiritual realm, and he was depressed. He said, why did I even be born? Why don't you just snuff me out? He didn't say that a few hours before when fire come down from heaven. But because his life was threatened, he didn't have the peace and the assurance that God is over all darkness, over Jezebel, over all the threats, over everything. And he's still the same today as he was yesterday, and he will be forever. So while he was under that broom bush, the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for this journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. Here he is, in the very presence of God. He went into the cave and spent the night, and the Lord appeared to Elijah. And the word of the Lord came to him and says, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? That's the best question you can have when you find yourself in the environment, in the presence of God, is let him say, what are you doing here? And then you whip out your list and say, I need all these things. And as soon as you hit the last item, you say, thanks, God, I'm on my way. I got stuff to do. I don't even give him sometimes a chance to say, listen, I want to help you. It's just like I put the laundry list out there and then he's just supposed to answer my prayers. What are you doing here? Well, you got to remember that Elijah was still in this kind of in and out depressive state. And he replied to God, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put all your prophets to death with the sword. He'd just done that to Baal. I am the only one left. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like when you're walking through something that you are the only one? You're not. First of all, you're not the only one because you're one of four. You are always one of four. You, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You are never alone. You are never the only one. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me. And the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. Okay, you're in the cave. You ever been in an earthquake? It's kind of scary, especially if you're in a cave in a mountain and all this stuff is just, it's just, the wind is blowing so hard that it's tearing rocks off the mountain. What are you thinking now? You're already depressed. You're already... like, you found yourself in the presence of God. And so You're looking for God, where are you? And God is not in the wind. Sometimes what we think is the presence of God is not the presence of God. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And we've seen the devastation of an earthquake. And we kind of go, God, where are you in this? And after the earthquake came a fire. Like, this is getting bad. Cheer up, things could be worse. So he cheered up, and sure enough, things got worse. It's really bad. You got wind that blows all the rocks apart. You got an earthquake. Now you got a fire. But the Lord wasn't in the fire. And yet in Scripture, it says that he's in fire lots of times. He's the pillar of fire. He came down in fire and consumed the altar. And after the fire, this is so good. There's just a gentle whisper. Wow. You need to hang in there, people. You got to hang in through the wind. You got to hang in through the earthquake. You got to hang in through the fire. And wait. If you'll wait, he's not going to go, Jim, here I'm over here, Jim. Pretty messy deal, eh? Come on over here, it's safer. No, I didn't say that. He just goes, I don't know it. Did he say, Elijah? But I'll tell you, it was loud enough for Elijah to hear. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out to the and stood at the front of the cave, or the mouth of the cave, and then a voice said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He just said that like four verses before. What are you doing here, Elijah? You know, we come with an agenda. We come with a purpose. We come with an environment, a predisposed way of approaching God when we pray. And so this is what Elijah says. I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, tore down your altars, and put the prophets to death with the sword. Did you hear that before? I'm the only one left. Now they're trying to kill me too. He just talked to God about that. Do you ever kind of repeat yourself in your prayers? You know why you do that? It's God, you're really not interested in where I'm at. Like, I don't want anything, but do you understand where I am? Do you understand? Watch my mouth. I am alone. We do that with each other, don't we? Sometimes in communications with people who are not listening to us, we will go, listen to my lips. You don't have to do that with God. He listens to your heart. And he says, I'm the only one left. They're trying to kill me. And God says, go back there. Go back to where they're trying to kill you. Is there anybody else around? Would that be your answer? Like, God, is there anybody else that I don't believe this is? Get behind me, Satan. I go back there, they're going to kill me. No, you know what God wants you to do? Is face the situations with his power. Not your own. You'll run from every situation. You'll run. But when he talks to you in prayer, he says, go back the way you came. Go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, do what you're called to do. Anoint Hazael, king over Aram. That's what his calling as a prophet was, is to anoint kings and to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says, go back into the middle of the battlefield and anoint this guy king. Also, anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elijah, son of Shaphat, from Abel Meholah, to succeed you as a prophet. Like, go back and face all the things that I've called you to do. Then at the same time, take on an understudy, somebody who'll look after when you're gone. Because you're not gone yet, but you need to train and develop somebody. And you know the story about when Elijah went up, caught up in a chariot of fire. He threw down the mantle that Elijah said, I want a double portion. Now, if you read 1 and 2 Kings, you're going to find out that Elijah moved in a powerful way in the spirit. And then Elijah asked for double that, and he moved in a very powerful way. And that is the same Holy Spirit that lives inside of you today. And so we not only have Elijah's, but we have Elijah's double portion. And we don't have it through somebody else. We have it directly by the Holy Spirit inside of us. Can you get excited about that? Because he lives inside of you and he empowers everything that you need. So you are never alone. And it doesn't matter if somebody's trying to kill you. Well, it kind of does mess up your day. I've had three or four times in my life when somebody has threatened to kill me. Literally kill me. When I was a child and when I was in the ministry, I had a gun put to my head and a knife put to my throat. And it was genuine that they were going to kill me because they had done that before. But when God intervenes, you don't have to worry about who's trying to kill you. You need to go back into the darkness, shine the light, and break the power of the enemy over those things. And you are not alone. And you need to bring somebody alongside and anoint them, or not anoint them, but allow them to be under your anointing. The Holy Spirit's anointing, so that they can learn the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he says here, you're not alone. Jehu will put to death anyone who escaped the sword of Hazael. And Elijah, the prophet, will put to death anyone who escaped the sword of Jehu. Hey, you don't even have to do your own battle. The battle is the Lord's. Praise him. The battle is the Lord's. All you have to do is be there. Right? Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. So you think you're alone. There's 7,000 in a cave somewhere that haven't come to the same place that you are. They are not. You are not alone. 7,000 prophets. We have an amazing, enormous church all around the world, full of people empowered by the Holy Spirit. You are not alone. The presence of God tells you you're not alone. The Acts, let's skip ahead in history here. Acts chapter 4, verse 23 to 35. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said about them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together and prayed to the Sovereign Lord, or they prayed to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? We live in a world like that today. The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed. I don't know whether it'll be 2017 that we see that more in our own country, but we're going to see where this is not going to be a popular message anymore, that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven through the Father. Jesus Christ is the only way. It's not going to be a popular message. It's already getting very unpopular, but it's the only truth. And so you're going to have to learn to stand. You're going to have to learn to go back into the battlefield. Not run, not cower, not ever say that you're alone. You're going to need to walk in the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit in the gifts that you have. The kings rise up against the rulers, band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. So this is a big conspiracy to kill Jesus. And it worked, except he didn't die. Can't keep a good man down. Jesus Christ did not die. He died on a cross as a human. 3 days later, rose again. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. He lives inside of us. He's not dead. He's not somewhere where we go to worship his tomb, although there is, you know, there is historical places in Israel, but he's not there. He's here. He's here. He's all over North America. He's all over South America. He's all over Africa. He's India, China. You name the country. You name the people. He is there. He's alive. They did not want your power and will. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servant to speak your word with great boldness. Hey, that's what we need to do. 2017 might be the year Jesus Christ comes back. You ever thought about that? He could actually come back. Well, we've been talking about that for years. Yeah, really. Because he said he's coming back and he tells the truth. So maybe it's this year. Who knows? But help us to speak with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your servant Jesus, your holy servant Jesus. So that's what we want to do. We want to reach out. We want to touch people. We want to minister to people. And signs and wonders, miracles. Like Elijah, we want to see the fire come down from heaven and consume all darkness. We want to be a part of this thing that God is doing all over the world. We want to lay hands on the sick. We want to see guys like Doug back here because God intervened in his life. And there's others of you here who have shared their testimonies about the intervention of God in impossible situations. Nothing's impossible for him. And he lives inside of you. And you are not alone. And it's all about prayer, because it says in Acts chapter 4, and they had a great meeting up to this point, I'm sure, after they prayed, the place where their meeting was shaken. Isn't that awesome? When you sense the power of the Holy Spirit moving, that there's such an anointing. I remember when I was first saved that there was times when people just fall under the Spirit. Just you know, and there's all sorts of flaky people that fall down all the time anyway, but there's some genuine presence of the Holy Spirit where God actually lays somebody out right down. They're totally unable to stand in the presence of God any longer. That is awesome. That's the kind of Shekinah glory that we need to see. Not that we need to become a church of the falling down or the dog barking or running around in Jericho marches all over the place. We don't need to become that. We need to be people who are responsive to the miracles and the power of the Holy Spirit. And if there's a need, then you lay hands on that person and that need is met. And if there's a need, there's that you just are sensitive to what God wants you to do. It. He wants you to go back. Go back and have an impact on those people. So it was shaken, and they were all believers, were in one heart and one mind. They're in one accord, just like in the book of Acts in the beginning, in the upper room. One accord. That's a Honda. Isn't that terrible? All in one accord. They were all together in him. No one claimed any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything that they had. So if you have a Ford 150 4x4 crew cab, you're supposed to share that with me. No, you're not. It's pretty easy to manipulate those kind of things, but it's not what it's saying. It's if you have a need, then somebody will know that you have that need. And have you been recipients of that? How many people have been recipients of what God has done through someone else? I'm there. Where? All over. Like, did God touch you somehow? Financially or in an encouraging way? Some way God has come into your life. And maybe you're those ones who God used to do that. Continue on in that. That's a tremendous gift, a blessing. And so it concludes with this. With great power, the apostles continued to testify of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerful at work in them, all there were not in need, any of them. Any of the persons among them had no needs. When we gather, my heart is that we don't have any needs when we leave spiritually, that we as a family can meet those through the Holy Spirit. That's why we had that altar time here. We need to be sensitive to when God wants to do things. We need to be sensitive to where he wants us to go. And this year we're going to go into different places and we're going to share the gospel in different countries and we're going to do even more and greater things than we did even last year, because he has a plan for RPC. He has a plan for us to touch our community and to touch the world. And some of you sitting here are thinking, well, that won't be me, but you know, maybe even this afternoon or maybe even later tonight, or maybe this week, or maybe later this year, God is going to speak into your heart and say, I want you to do this. And when he does, I want you to respond to him in the affirmative. I want you to say, yeah, I will. And not try to figure it out. Just, yeah, I will. I'll go. I will do. I will give. I will care. I will phone. I will write. I'll do whatever you want me to do to glorify your name. Because you see, it started off this sermon with where do we pray? How do we pray? We find ourselves in the presence of God. I don't know where that is for you. For me, that's the best time. I'm out on the dike and I'm walking. It's just me and him. And I don't talk much out there because then they think you're nuts. If you're going to talk to yourself, you should have a cell phone in your hand anyway. Then people will just think, oh, well, you know, they're just talking on their cell phone. Years ago, we couldn't do that because we didn't have cell phones. They just thought you're nuts then. So I don't talk as much as I usually do, which is good. Because then he can talk to me. And you know what? In 1 minute, he can say something to me that'll change my whole life if I'll let him. I don't know whether you're going through a windstorm in your life right now. Elaine talked about that in the word of encouragement and the word from the Lord. Or you're going through an earthquake or everything's being shaken up, or you're just going through a fire and it seems like everything you have is being burned. God, isn't that great? I love it. God is saying to you, come out to the mouth of the cave. Come out to the mouth of the cave. And I want to talk to you in a real quiet way. Find that quiet place. Because I'll tell you, 2017, the way we look at calendars, it's going to be a substantial year in your life if you'll listen to that still, small verse, the voice. This morning, God did some awesome things already. And he is not done. Some of you don't come up because you know, that's not a comfortable thing, but he does things where you're seated, because he does things in your heart. And maybe you have that place that you feel is your place where you find the presence of God the easiest. Then I encourage you to frequent that place as much as you can. Don't live there, because he didn't live there. Jesus went to those places. We haven't finished up on the Mount of Transfiguration yet, where he took his disciples. We're going to talk about that again, because there's a whole bunch more there that we can learn about the presence of God in prayer. And so we're going to encourage you to just kind of follow along with that. Would you stand with me? We're going to worship for a few minutes. And thank you, Pastor Eduardo. Were you blessed with his service last week? Isn't that awesome? He and Tricia are such a blessing to us, and I heard lots of good feedback from him ministering. That's our church. That's our body. And so we just want to encourage you to step out in your gifts this year. Move forward in an area. Maybe you're at a place at that cave where you need to go back. You can tell God this, but when he says, what are you doing here? Go ahead, tell him. Well, you know, I've gone to church for a long time, God. And I've tithed all the way through, and just lay it out, and everybody's against me, and it's just a mess. And I'm afraid they're trying to kill me. That's okay. You can do that with God. But then listen to him when he says, go back into the battle and I'll lead you.